to peace. Hello and welcome to episode 112 of To Be Start Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show, which we honestly have a great show for you guys today, normally because we lie about this sort of thing. But we'll be discussing my thoughts on No More Heroes 2, showcasing some overused sound effects, and doing our usual remix Musical Misfit and the Fearful Black Doom Awards. But first, Tim with the news.
Hey. Guys, I'm your host, Tim.
I'm starting to wonder if we should have opened with such a thing.
The first bit of news that I hear is that Ray is available.
Well, thanks for making that the highlight of the show, by the way.
Yeah, I put a good spin on it. I'd rather say you're available than Ray got dumped or something, right?
Right. Well, yeah, it's true. It's true, yeah. 3 weeks and it was over. You know why, right?
Was it the life-size Sonic poster?
No, that was never the issue. See, the problem is she also listens to the podcast, right?
Uh-oh.
And so she's like, why should I date you if I already get what I want from the podcast, right? Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free sort of thing, you know? But just podcast
related. She's got a point.
I know.
You know what? I think you got to keep the podcast a secret from the next one. Just have this deep, dark secret.
But what
secret?
If that's how I find the next one?
Oh, no.
Hey, little girls. I'm a responsible person, I swear.
But here's the thing. So you have this secret, and in like 1 hour a week, you like hide yourself. And she's like, what is it? Does he have a drug addiction? Is there another woman?
Honey, what's there's something going I have on? To tell you. I talk a lot on my own. You talk with other people that you don't even know or will never see ever again.
That's right. That's the world of podcasting.
Yeah, yeah. I was just happy we got to use so much comedy of me having a girlfriend. So much material.
Yeah, oh yeah. I got a 4-part series, Now That You're Single Again, based on your dating life. No, I'm just kidding.
In the world of gaming news, what have you got for us?
This week there was a big announcement from Apple, and it does have something to do with gaming. The iPad was announced, and I thought we might discuss the, shall I say, problems with the device and how it relates to gaming.
You know, some people like to report the news and not take a side.
Well, that's not what I do here.
Quick thoughts about the iPad. I never saw the reason to get a tablet. So for me, it's like when I saw Microsoft show it off, like, look, you can run Windows 7 on a little tablet computer. It's like, why would I want to do that? Why right. would I want to touch Windows 7 with my fingers? I don't even want to touch Windows 7 with a mouse or a 10-foot pole, you know? For me, it was like, so if a tablet's going to be something I want, Apple's going to have to sell me on it. Because, frankly, if Apple just says, here's a tablet, I'm honestly not going to be interested. Unless they finally sell me on the reason I need one.
Steve Jobs started off by saying, for this to work, it has to be better than a laptop and better than a smartphone.
For certain reasons.
And I was intrigued by that because I'm like, you're right. I think he asked the right question. I don't think they have the right answers.
For me, they didn't sell me on it, but they did give me a glimpse of why I would want a tablet at some point. Something that you just don't see on spreadsheets when comparing products is ease of use. You know, mm-hmm, the enjoyment mm-hmm. while using. Those things don't appear in checkboxes. You either have, is it 3G? You know, how many gigs of RAM does it have? That kind of stuff. Like,
right.
But until they start making the home screen less like the iPhone and more like an actual desktop, you know,
right.
It's just going to be a while. It's going to be a while before we get there, but it's a nice baby step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I have serious problems with their approach to the iPad. With an iPhone or a DS, it's like, well, it's small. I can put it in my pocket. I can play a little game here and there. I don't really want to drag this thing around and, you know, pop up this huge screen and tilt it like a steering wheel. It seems like I'm not going to do that on the bus. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not really for travel, in my opinion. It's just more for leisure. It's more like, hey, I don't really want to have to go over to my computer. I'm just going to pick up this slab next to me and browse, you know, Safari right now sort of deal.
Yeah.
So right now, it's like that's only for rich people
right.
and people with a lot of time on their hands that they need a leisure device with a big screen in their room. You know, but later, much later, we'll be to the point where everyone's going to want to have one because it's like, oh yeah, I want one because it's just kind of weird showing people stuff on my phone or whatever. It depends, but I think it's going to be a while before we get there.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite a while. And there are some interesting prospects for games like real-time strategy games. You know, you want to circle a bunch of troops groups and bring them over. It's like, yeah, stuff on the iPhone that more ambitious than the screen real estate would really allow for would work really well on the iPad. But
you know, one of these days we need to disagree on something.
Yeah, doggone it.
It's very rare. I mean, that's what I hate. Like, have you ever watched Project Runway? Of course you have. You're married.
No.
Now, it's... It's like all the judges always agree. They always agree on every single person. That, and like, I've never seen a time where one judge is like, no, I don't like this so much.
You know, I've got to agree with so-and-so. It's like, really? then I guess you don't need to say anything else because everything else...
I guess we don't need three judges. We just need one.
Right.
If you're going to give me a judge, at least make it Judge Judy. You know, then I'll enjoy the show. Gosh. Well, let's move on to...
Yeah, what's next?
The topic of the week. Which, honestly, it really is of the week. Because I purchased No More Heroes 2, Desperate Struggle.
Which, that title, man. How do you put a DS title in a Wii
That's
game?
That's right. I remember we talked about that.
Like Desperate Struggle. They always do that, right? With DS.
Without infamous information on the DS.
Yeah.
I got to say, I was pretty disappointed.
Was it as good as the first one?
It improved on many things, but when I got done with it, I was like, why did they make this game?
Because
I really didn't feel like I got anything very new from it. Yes, you fight new assassins. Are they as cool as the assassins before? No. Are they handled with delicacy and care as the first one? No. All right. Are the ways of fighting them more inventive than the game before? No. In fact, some of them are way more frustrating than ever before. Where it's like, I'm playing it, and I'm remembering all the reviews I've been reading. 8.8. If you're a Wii owner, you got to pick this up. You'll usually have like 4 pluses, 1 con sort of style review. Mm-hmm, you know, am I playing the same game?
What's strange to me is that the first game, it didn't sell well on the Wii, and
right.
the problems with the game seem to be related in some regard to the Wii's hardware, like the open world type of idea. It's like that you're not going
right.
to really do that very well on the Wii.
Yeah.
And then for them to make a sequel that doesn't really live up to even the first one, is that's kind of weird.
I mean, I played through all the first game through for normal and hard difficulties and bought every item, basically. Like, I totally cleared it.
Yeah.
And I felt there were a lot of problems with the first game, obviously. But I was willing to put up with that because it's like, well, it's their first time at this, you know, so I can put up with the flaws. The Wii obviously has graphical issues. Some games are able to cover up those graphical issues with style.
Right.
And although this game had a lot of style, it still... a lot of times looked really crappy. And it was like this unavoidable, like, wow, you guys really just didn't care, did you? Like, you truly just did not care how bad this place looked, like, at all. The other thing that really bugs me is, you know, last game you got to buy like 4 or 5 beam katanas and, you know, you had like a small collection.
Yeah.
I went through all of this game on normal and I ended up with 3 weapons and there was 1 more left for me to buy. And I would say 2 of the 3 of those were basically ones I had in the last game. And I'm like, okay.
That's like the default thing. If you're going to make a sequel, you need more characters.
Yeah, you need to throw
more
into it. Yeah,
yeah,
do what you didn't get to do in the first game.
Yeah.
And for me, it felt like they did the same thing again. In some ways better, in some ways lamer. So I'm like, why was this made? And in the last game, like, you really got the sense of I'm fighting my way to the top. I'm going through these hardcore characters with background stories to them. And it's like when I kill them, like it's kind of sad because it's like, man, I really like you feel regret about killing them sometimes because you're kind of forced to assassinate people even if you don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to do that in this game, but it doesn't go off as well because oftentimes they will throw bosses at you that don't say a word. They just show up. You kill them. And I'm like, who was that guy? Like, what
That's
his
weird.
Story?
A lot of times, developers will use the Wii's weaknesses as an excuse to slack off in other areas, kind of.
Is okay if the gameplay is just freaking solid.
Yeah,
you know?
And
then you're like,
and
you know
why
what?
The,
I don't
the
care.
Gameplay has to overcompensate for the other weaknesses.
Yep. All right, well, let's break up the conversation a little bit with a Ricky Ricky
remix.
The segment I mentioned a video game remix favorite of mine, who made it and where you can grab it. This week it's a remix of the original Metroid by the Icarus Kid called Maru Mari. Take a quick listen to the sample. And if you'd like to find this for yourself, just head back to the page you grabbed this episode of 2B Start Live from, or the link is right there for those of you listening to our M4A version of the show. Well, a little bit later, we're going to do our off-topic segment about sound effects. But first, let's do a little bit of comic talk. This week we had Go Fish, which is yet another highly original title from Tim.
You didn't like it?
Well, Go Fish, really?
Yeah, Go Fish. Like the card game, you know?
Yeah, and next time you come to me with a title like that, I'll say, Tim, go freaking fish, all right?
Kind of, this is in line with our typical, you know?
Yeah, which is strange.
Yeah, kind of just explaining or reinventing an area of a Mario game. Can we get that specific?
I have a challenge for you.
Uh-oh.
I want to do a comic that is the worst webcomic ever made. I know we've already kind of touched on this with the Silver Surfer versus Mario stuff, you know? But I think we can do it right. I think we can really go out. Like, I wouldn't mind going out of my way to make it just right.
Spend 30 hours making the worst.
Whether it's just the comic on its own, or it's a story about how the worst comic in the world comes to be sort of thing, or, you know, however, I'm still kind of keen on maybe doing, like, a parody of many well-known webcomics, you
know? Right,
right. Where we kind of boil down their humor and their art style in, like, a funny little way where we kind of play.
Yeah, that's a very fine line between, you know, because I can think of a number of comics where I think it would be really funny to do that, but the only way it would be funny is to be really mean, because I have nothing but bad things to say about those people, you know?
And so maybe this is our way of saying bad things about them without specifically saying it about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I would really like to do that if you are up for that challenge.
Well, I will consider it.
And the other challenge is I would like to do a multi-parter comic.
Ooh.
So I'm laying down the... No girlfriend. I'm ready to go.
Interesting.
No more standards. That's just...
Well, we have a couple comic ideas on the back burner that are not multi-part or awful, but they're lengthy and difficult, so...
Oh, excellent.
If you want torturous comics that'll maybe come off really well, I think we got a couple...
And also, I wouldn't mind doing a guest strip for Brawl in the Family at some point. In some ways, I would say our Kirby comic was that guest strip.
Yeah, on
so
accident.
Knowing we've kind of done that on accident, let's do it a little differently than what you would think the default guest strip for Brawl in the Family would be.
Yeah, sounds like we got some good things cooking.
And for every great comic comes great comments. This week's suggestion box was no different. My comment of the week goes to Elaw, who said... I'm extremely disappointed in you, Ray. You've just renovated the podcast, added two new segments, and suggested that more would be on the way. And yet, there was no return of the official chicken grab. As we all know, this is Tim's favorite segment, and he has cherished every moment that it has given us, as have the rest of the
Don't
fans.
Don't do it.
Shame
Liar.
On you.
Liar.
Well, I'm sorry. We no longer have the official chicken grab.
Good.
But we do have the official chicken grab in space.
What?
Go, Tim.
They're floating. Oh my goodness.
You can't hear them. It's silent in space, but you should.
Game over.
Is this some way to get off without doing any sound effects? Just calling it the chicken grab in space? No one can hear you cluck in space. That's a good tagline for a movie.
It's also kind of scary, too. You have to look at your radar. It could be like aliens, you know?
Big good iPad game.
Yeah. When you move the screen
up towards the sky,
yeah, it also moves the actual three-dimensional space that you're looking through. Basically, I think we're onto something there.
That's called what's it called again?
Potential
augmented reality.
Oh, yes.
I think the thing would need a camera, though. Oh.
What's your comment of the week?
This is gonna be a new segment I call Random Comment of the Week. I'm just going to scroll randomly.
No! And, that's terrible.
And whatever it lands on is the comment of the week.
You're a horrible human being.
Comment of the week goes to Twilight Lucario.
No, I'm not
going to
allow this. I'm not going to let you do this.
That's actually a good comment.
No. Unacceptable. Just this comes on the heels of me talking about how we read every comment and really appreciate everything you guys
say. I just don't.
Tim goes and just throws it all in the shredder.
I just, during the podcast, I don't happen to have one like all ready to go. Like,
it's called preparation.
Printed out on the wall, you know, framed and ready to read aloud.
Wow. I've lost all faith in our site now because of you.
Hey, why am I getting this 404 error on our site? No, just kidding. I'm sorry. I have nothing for you.
How dare you? Well, now it's time to rise from your grave. I can force feed you people's comments now.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. I will read from a script. Not well, but I will do it.
Many 2B Start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by continually reading our comics, but never daring to leave a single comment. So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you.
Our first grave riser is Tatawan, who says, "It has finally come time. I am grave rising, folks.
Rise from your grave.
I have been following your comic since number 131 and have loved it ever since. I have listened to all your podcasts many a times."
Jeez.
Whoa. That blew my mind right there.
That made me want to throw up.
"And now that I have my own show, I realize how important all comments are to me. So I thought I should finally leave my favorite site, one of my own."
So you know what, Tatawan? Maybe one day you'll have so many comments you just won't care anymore. You'll just skip over them like Tim.
I'm stepping on all the people who made me who I am today. He continues, "So I am sorry, but now as I dust off the dirt and rise from my grave..."
Rise from your grave.
"I'm reborn again into the beautiful world of 2P Start."
Next up we have Exxon, or Xon, who said, "Finally I rise from my..."
Rise from your grave.
"Grave. I have stumbled upon your website via StumbleUpon, ironic, and have really enjoyed going through your archives. I occasionally listen to a random podcast when I'm bored, and it's really entertaining to listen to. I really like the music you guys put in the podcast, and hope for many more comics and podcasts to come." Oh, and good comic, too.
Our last grave riser is Knuckles E, who said, "So, I rise from my grave and say..."
Rise from your grave.
"Thank you. And say, keep up the amazing, stupendous, and groundbreaking work. This comic is funny, epic, and rather delightful."
Well, thank you very much, you guys. Also, some honorable mentions from folks who, first time commenting, but they haven't exactly been here for very long, goes to Mr. Pineapplehead and Grandpa Love, who mentioned, by the way, that he kind of likes Black Doom.
How dare he?
All right, time for Off Topic. Overused sound effects in video games. And this also goes for movies as well, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through the top five sound effects I hear all the time, and I think they're part of a collection that's free and easy to get, so that's where they show up in every production ever. So let's go ahead and start this off with number five.
Oh yeah, I've heard that in a lot of places. In fact, that might be an infamous. The background sounds like when you skate through, like, cause it's all about electricity and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. That's very familiar.
Number four is wind.
Oh, boy. Yeah, just that faint howl, you know?
I swear, what's that movie, 1408? Is that what it's called?
It's Room 1408 or something like that.
I swear that sound effect was in like the entire movie. Like I couldn't escape from it. It's like a window was open in his room like the entire time. So all I ever heard was like, I heard that. It's like, it has that specific howling tone to it. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And it probably repeats after 7 seconds. So you hear the same like
exactly, highs
and
exactly.
Lows. And,
okay. Something should start to get more familiar here. For those of you who are out so far, number three, let's go with the door. This door sound effect you might recognize as part of the siege tanks in StarCraft, actually. Although it's more commonly used as like a big industrial.
Unrealistic, just because they would be so expensive to make. They're just like this big show, like it's opening four different ways. Or it's like, wait, that's pretty unnecessary, guys.
Right.
I mean, let's get practical here, you know.
Number two, similar in some ways, sometimes this is used for a door as well, but it's actually kind of an elevator platform.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's...
That one, ooh. That's everywhere. Yeah. I heard that in WALL-E, heard that in 100 million games. Oh, man.
Isn't it hard to record your own, like, sound
it's
effects?
It's not hard, but it's easier to use the grab bag free one.
I guess most people don't really mind, you know?
No, no one notices.
Yeah.
That's why people hate going to movies with me. Because I'm like, hey, did you hear that? All the time. All the time.
Yeah.
But hands down, the most overused, this one blows my mind. Because you can use this for any outside anything. You could be in a park. You could be in the swamp, in a forest, on a beach, cliffside, anything. You will hear this animal.
Oh, boy.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
See, this thing, no one knows what this is. Like, if you were to be like, hey, what animal is this? You're like, shh. I don't know.
It's typically, like, that sounds like jungle sound effects. Every jungle game seems to have that.
But if you heard it, like, on the shore, would you really notice?
No.
I can
think of it being in a lot of games, yeah. I could picture
when it mixes with other sounds, you know, wind sounds,
yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know, the trees rustling. You hear a little animal, woo-hoo. You're like, all right, it's an animal, big freaking whoop-de-doo. But then when you realize,
animal?
Hey, that's the loon. That's the loon. It's everywhere. So the thing is, no one knows about this animal.
Right.
And I think it's important that we teach our kids what the loon is.
Oh no, I know what's coming.
Loon.
Oh dear. But at least you did it better than they do. Because you picked a different part of the sound effect when the hero.
You know
there,
how I couldn't help myself but to help make it a little more right?
Like, I want to hear a version where whole sound effect is in there every time.
I can't. It goes against everything in my bones, just to have it be the same sound over and over. Because it makes many different sounds. We need to highlight each one, you know? All right. Well, time for the dreaded Black Doom Award. Whoa. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice. Horrible decisions made related to video games.
In honor of the worst decision ever made in gaming.
Black Doom.
Yeah.
Well, my Black Doom Award goes to John Koller of Sony.
I hate that guy.
With the announcement of the Apple iPad came John Koller of Sony's comments. He said, Apple's entrance into the portable gaming space has been a net positive for Sony. When people want a deeper, richer console, they'll start playing on a PSP.
I did just read this. Yeah.
I don't
know that I would spend $500 on an iPad and then say, oh, darn it.
I really meant to watch some UMDs on this.
Yeah, I mean, no. Sony, no. First of all, I'm still not over the failure that is PSP Go, which...
Oh, my god!
Nobody's bought it. It's still... What is it? It's still $250, $250. You have no way of playing any of the games you bought in your previous PSP.
There's
just nothing... Almost nothing good about it, really.
No.
And yet, they can't admit the failure. They just keep saying, it has really helped the platform.
It's like Jay Leno. Like, oh, hey, you're doing great in first place. But you know what? Let's... We want to switch you out.
Yeah, that didn't really work so well, did it?
Yeah, it did. Got rid of Conan.
You don't like Conan, huh?
I'm not saying I don't like Conan.
How dare you?
I'm just saying I prefer Leno. What can I say?
How dare I like Conan?
Well, here's the thing with Conan for me, okay? I've argued with many friends about this, because apparently to be 24 and not like Conan is the out crowd, okay?
It is.
Yeah, nice to know I can be separated from those I know and love. In fact, this was part of the reason for the breakup. But, whenever you watch Conan, I can always guess he'll do, okay, let's see. He's going to cut his suspender straps. He's going to make a comment to the audience like, I love you too, sir, things like that. He'll always point over to maybe his drummer so his drummer can just give a blank stare and walk away from the camera and give a thumbs
up. Isn't that the epitome of all the late night guys? They all have the little tells. They all have their little things
that
they
do. And so like every time I turn on Conan, I'm like, I want to hear jokes. And what I get is half jokes, half repeat things that he does every single freaking week, which I understand because if I was doing a late night show for 15 to 20 years, eventually I would get into my rung of, listen, I just do this every night. I pay my bills. I have a good life. People laugh. I can do with that. You know, kind of like this show. I just give up after a while. But how many things does Leno do every single night that takes up half a show? What does he do every night that you can guess consistently will happen?
I don't really watch Leno at all so right. I don't know.
You like, I'm not a fan of jaywalking, but I love headlines. You know, headlines are funny to me because they're real. They actually were in the newspaper. Conan's sort of headlines things are not as funny to me because they're made up. You know, he's like, oh, hey, look at these misprints on commercials. And here's a funny one that we wrote. Like, okay, that's nice, except it's funnier when it's real, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, to each his own.
That being said, I
don't watch either one. Like, here's my thing.
Yeah, I don't really watch either one.
How can you not like Conan? Like, I'm so sad Conan's leaving. I'm like, oh, yeah, did you watch him a lot? No, I haven't really turned that on.
Yeah,
like,
everyone seems to have an opinion about it, but nobody ever watched it. So it's like...
No!
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care either way. When I see a clip of Conan, I typically like it, but I don't watch late night TV.
Like, man, but his last show was the highest rated show ever. You know, it's like, yes, because he's leaving.
Because it was the last show.
It's like, if it was like, hey, it's not his last show, would you watch it? No, not really. Okay, well, then that's why he's gone. Because they're like, I mean, I don't think it was right what NBC did. That's my thing. I think Leno's getting the blame for a lot of stuff he really shouldn't. You know, for me, it's like,
NBC,
listen, I prefer Leno, but that doesn't mean I don't like that I hate Conan. I think he should leave. It's just like, this is a lame choice by NBC that's cruel to everyone. But like, dude, like, come on. Like, if you want to support a show, freaking watch it and stop complaining about it. Like, hey, I'm with Coco. Yeah, did you watch a show? No. All right, then you're not. Like, I don't know what else to say besides you're not with Coco.
If his ratings were way above Leno, then he never would have got lost the show.
And I think what Conan did was right. I think Conan made the honorable decision of stepping down for good. You know,
taking the $25 million or whatever.
$45 million, yeah,
whatever.
That's what I always
that
love.
Very honorable.
He's got such a hard life, you know.
I did like that in his little farewell. He did say that. He said, "Look, I'm the luckiest person in the world to have this job, and to have done it for 7 months is amazing."
It's like, you know, of all the things that we can be getting upset about, you know, like,
that
really
great,
I'm really
going
to stand
speech.
Behind someone earning $45 million. Suddenly, the rich person is great, you know, like any other person. Or it's like, hey, how could you earn so much money? You're so evil. But in this case, like, hey, he's funny.
It's
Conan. I want him around,
even
though I don't watch his freaking show.
Yeah, people get upset at like corporate America and that bonus that person got. What about Conan's freaking bonus for leaving the company?
I hate rich people, but man, that new Will Smith movie was great. Man, I just love that guy. He's in fact, I hate rich people so much when they're like trying to pay off the government to make decisions, but. Man, you know, when Will Ferrell gives me political advice, I really want to listen to him, you know? Because I see him in a lot of movies, and I honestly have to listen to his opinion, right?
Yeah, well, so what's the difference there? If you buy it off with money or you buy it off with your status, right?
I know. That's what I love about people. Like, they always post these videos of, like, celebrities. Like, I don't care which political spectrum you're on. I'm not going to listen to a freaking celebrity just because they talked. Like, for some reason, oh, it's a celebrity. I see them on movies. Of course their opinion's going to be right. What? No, that doesn't mean anything. It's the equivalent of me going to the pizza place and asking the pizza owner, like, hey, what do you think about this? That's his freaking opinion. He's not in a movie. It's just as equal as Will Ferrell's. My opinion is just equals as Will Ferrell's.
Will Ferrell is funny, though.
Will Ferrell. We're not funny people. I know. No, that's why no one trusts us.
Darn it. Well, I do have a Black Doom Award as well, if we can get back on track here. We're going to talk about this next week as well, but I'm just going to bring up a part of this that I think is Black Doom worthy. Microsoft's new game room for Xbox Live. You heard about it?
I hear there's a game in a room.
It's like a virtual arcade where your avatar can walk around to different arcade machines, and you can, you know, if you buy a game, then you can actually see the arcade machine there in front of you.
Right.
Okay, so the Black Doom Award is... we're going to talk about that idea, that concept of I need... my virtual person to be doing the thing that I would be doing otherwise. That's what we're going to talk about, because there's a lot of that stuff going around. It's a whole Second Life type of thing.
It's like, listen, instead of browsing through a list of games to play as an arcade, I need to walk my person around the room to go to virtual arcades to play virtual games and put in virtual money. How about we cut the crap and let me go through a freaking menu? That was what was so great about Home, is people had to like wait in line to play games. It's like, this is not helpful in the gaming experience.
Yes. So we will get into that more next time. Okay. That
okay.
will be
I'm sorry.
That will be Tim
Not
in the
jump
news.
The gun.
No, don't jump the gun here. That's right. Tim in the news. But For this week, if you bought Centipede or Millipede or whatever for $5 and you're like, oh, cool, so now I can, you know, jump into my arcade and play. Oh, sorry. You're going to have to buy it again. What is the point of that? Can somebody explain to me why would I? So now I have options, right? If I want to get to it quickly, I can just play the old copy that I bought before. And that's right in the menu. If I want to take a long time and walk around the arcade to get to the machine, sorry, you're going to have to buy it again for that inconvenience. What is that? And so,
what I would love is if your high scores don't transfer either, which I assume they
won't.
I'm sure they won't. Yeah. That's awesome.
And you know what? The price isn't bad. Like, some of these games are like $3 or whatever. That's fine. And then they have this idea, well, if you just want to play it like once or twice, you can like stick quarters in the machine, essentially. So for 50 cents, you can get two plays. But right. I'm thinking, so 50 cents to play it twice, or $3 to play it an infinite number of times. If I had that choice in the arcades, I don't think there'd be much of a decision, right? Because the whole point of an arcade is you're pumping quarters into the thing left and right. So I don't see the point of that option. It's like,
that's their only way of getting away with it, I think. Because that's the problem. Is like, if we just had this up where you can play, put in 50 cents to play it twice, no one would do it. But if we have it set up like an arcade, like a virtual arcade, then we can trick people in their
minds. But see, here's the thing.
Because people are stupid.
But
quote unquote, people will pay anything.
They'll pay 50 cents for anything.
We know they won't pay full price.
They won't pay $3.
Games.
But 50 cents is like dirt. If you do that six times, do they just give you the game for free, or can you just keep shelling out 50-cent increments forever?
Come on. It's like with music. You can either pay 99 cents to buy the song, or you can pay $2 for a ringtone. It makes perfect sense.
Oh, gosh. I don't think you can I'm guessing that you can't demo these games for free.
No way. That's what the quarter system's for. It's like taking away the only social aspect of gamers' lives, you know? Where they actually saw other people at an arcade every once in a while. Like now it's like, no, you know what?
No, I'm sure. I think you can invite your friends to come into your arcade. There's a lot of questions I have about how this is going
to
work. But
okay, I know about this. If you invite a friend to your arcade and they own the same game, they have to pay to play your game.
Are you serious?
I listened to this. Yeah, I heard about this.
See, if you invite your friend to your arcade, they should be able to play your game without paying a dime.
Right?
It's your arcade.
I know.
What kind of a jerk charges his friends to play his games? Hey, go on, come over to my house and pay me to play Uncharted 2?
First of all, you would do that, okay?
Yes, I would.
That's what happened when I came over to your place. You're like, hey, look, I got this cool arcade cabinet, Mario Brothers. And I'm like, sweet, whoa, slow down, buddy. Then you rub your fingers together, like, pay up.
Yeah, this is all very, very strange. We're going to see a lot of empty arcades, I think. Let's wrap it up. I'm done. I want to eat dinner.
Finally. Finally, we'll wrap up the show with Musical Misfits. Some great video game songs have been ignored over time.
How dare they?
And we play one in full after the show's over for those who are still interested. You are just in such a good mood, Tim. I find such pleasure in working with you.
I know.
Our listeners get to trade off every other week with my suggestions. So this week's song was submitted by the Lupine One. It's the Sky Tower theme from Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Blue Rescue Team on the Nintendo DS. Oh, which, by the way, he considers to be his Citizen Kane of video game music. So, with that, will do it for this edition of 2B Start Live. Join us every Thursday for a brand new comic. Remember,
Thursday?
That's different. And every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We'll see you next week.
Get out of here. I have a question for you. Why didn't we really talk about the comic?
I didn't have, anything to say.
I did.
What? Why didn't you jump? Tim, okay.
You got off topic somehow. I don't know what happened.
But let's stop
you
for a second.
You used
let's...
some voodoo magic on me, and I just skipped it over.
Okay, it's clear you're out of it, all right?
Yes.
You skipped the... Don't
I
be
quit.
Afraid to
you
jump
know what?
In.
I quit.
It's as much my show as it is
Have
yours.
Have fun with One Piece start, buddy. No, I wanted to talk about the background.
Oh, okay.
That's a
you
big change.
That, huh?
I mean, that's a...
Well, how about we do a different segment instead?
Okay. Called Comic Suck.
Wow. Tim.
What's our different segment?
No, I'm just trying to get off the subject.
Oh, I thought you were... I thought you wanted to rename it or something.
When I had sent the comic to Tim, you said, you're going to change the background, right?
Right.
That's not the background, right? I'm like, really? First of all, how dare you?
How
Second
dare
of all...
You?
The comic has become less of Illustrator exclusive or vector work exclusive and more of a mixture. Mm-hmm. And I almost want to start doing more of the backgrounds in Photoshop because this was not just a picture that I pulled. It's multiple pictures I put together to make the image that it is. And that still takes work, you know, and I don't know. I guess, you know, 2B Start is in my life. Amazing, I know, but that's the case.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Well, it is now, though.
Yeah, girl. That's what's sad.
Well,
especially with the amount of work I've been putting into Brawl Lols, by the way. Which, have you seen those?
What? Brawl what?
Brawl
what?
Lols?
Brawl Lol. Brawl Lol. Brawl Owl.